Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, do we still have a special offer for our listeners?
We do. It is a promo code, 2022 half off, which you insert when you go to VRTrader.com and pick one of my newsletters that you'd like to sign up for. And you insert that in the promo code section of the order form, 2022 half off, and you get 50% off of any of those newsletters and any time frame that you had selected, 2022 half off. Also need to state that I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provided financial advice.
Now, are we in a summer bear rally? The stock markets have picked up this week?
Well, you know, for a day or two, it appears that is the case. We jumped on the long side here after taking some, profits on the inverse indexes. And, you know, we did that on Tuesday because over the weekend, the alleged president of the United States, Joe Biden, you know, comes out with a comment. I'm sure you read it in the news about, gas station owners, should really trim back any of the profits that they make to help the public and make gas more affordable. So that's as much of a socialist comment as I ever heard. So I don't want to use any derogatory terms on the air, but they all apply to him and the Democrats that are running the country. In any event, we came out of that little low, we seem to be trying to bounce a little bit. We do have, of course, a full moon coming up on the 13th, which is a few days ahead, so we'll see if we rally into that point of time or not. Of course, you got the Fed meeting coming up later in the month, there's some cycle points here that we have to watch. In fact, July 6th, just yesterday, was the first quarter lunar cycle, and sure enough, we came off that low. So you got to watch some of where the cycles are coming in here. We could get some nice volatility, but a lot of this is attributed to the hoping and wishing, and maybe they're going to be correct that, inflation is coming down, and the Fed, in its, love for the stock market and pity on all those who might be suffering, might do something different at their meeting toward the end of July. I think it's the 26th, 27th of the month. You know, I guess the hopeful comments I'm hearing out there is, gee, maybe they won't raise rates at the end of the month. Maybe they'll give us a break. They'll say, oh, we'll do nothing now. Things seem to be improving. Let's see what happens and wait another month or two and decide what to do. And that's being bandied about, and I don't, I can't say whether they would do that or not, but that certainly would spark one hell of a rally. It would be rallying into that point, perhaps even, and you get really an explosive move as shorts would be forced to cover. And it'd be, sort of a fun time to trade the market if they ended doing something like that. Of course, it'd reassert my view that the Fed should be abolished, that it's an incompetent institution, and it would be following the pattern of Alan Greenspan back in the 1980s, where, they would slam on the brakes and slow things down, and oh, they would change their mind. Let's loosen up a little bit. Oh, no, we made a mistake. Let's slam on the brakes again. So it's the same incompetence and stupidity, which is, highlighted in that great book by G. Edward Griffin, the creature from Jekyll Island, that has been written, I think, almost 20 years ago, basically details the creation of the Federal Reserve on Jekyll Island, Georgia. I think it was in 1910, where a small group of individuals met You know, and they were mostly bankers, and they put together a plan for the Federal Reserve, and it was presented to, you know, some of those apparently were politicians as well. But basically, you know, it was created to benefit the banks, who apparently, according to his research, were shareholders and may still be shareholders itself in the Federal Reserve, meaning that it's a private corporation, not part of the federal government, though chartered by the federal government. So basically, the Fed, in my opinion, should be abolished because it's incapable of accomplishing its stated objectives. We've had, even you pointed out, Jim, the number of recessions that we've had. It operates for private interests. For example, we've seen it invest in private companies, bonds, stocks, not just moving interest rates. So it's, you know, its mechanism of creating money from nothing, obviously, is a big problem. There's nothing behind any of it. And they hit a button on a computer and they generate cash and encourages war and ultimately acts as an instrument for totalitarianism, in my opinion. So it's over 100 years in existence. And, you know, I'm probably one of the few out there even talking about it. Maybe some extreme people in podcasts, and they probably think I'm one of those. But, you know, they've already shown they're, you know, incompetent in creating damage. And the increase of interest rates is not going to solve food shortages or supply chain issues or geocosmic events or war or anything else that could affect pricing and inflation. So it's really a joke. And, you know, more likely they'll overdo it or they'll make a mistake, as they've done so many times in the past. And I rant and rave about this a little bit, but I enjoy doing it. You know, even Ben Bernanke, you know, back around the financial crisis, and I mentioned this before, came out and basically reaffirmed my belief and others as well that the Federal Reserve was responsible in good part for the Depression back in the 1930s. He actually was quoted saying, "As yes, we did it, we're responsible," or something to that effect. I have to find the exact quote. So, you know, why it continues to exist, obviously benefits the banks, benefits powerful interests, and it's really a big, big problem. Time will come where we're going to get rid of it, but I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime or not.
Do you think anybody at the Fed will ever say what the chairman of General Motors said once? What's good for GM is good for America?
Right. What's good for the Fed is good for America might be the next line, right?
Exactly. We're the big banks, and we know what's best for you.
Right, and that's what government is all about, by people accepting government, not challenging their government. There's a great video that I had on my website. I'm going to put it back on this weekend. People should not be afraid of their governments. You know, we basically, injustice is legalized because we take orders from higher authority, which, you know, may be totally off the wall or criminal, as the most extreme case would be Adolf Hitler, for example. We take orders from higher levels, assuming they're correct and they're right, and, you know, we're going to kill all the Jews out there because the higher people say, you got to go do that, you know. So we have to start challenging authority, the governments. You know, of course, the big thing for me, you know, that we're going to jump into this subject, this is one of my favorites, you know, the governments have been censoring and controlling all the news regarding extraterrestrial contact on the planet, which has been going on for dozens of years. And I'm back to my newsletter last night. This is why I distrust government so much, because even as a young man, when I read all the research and what was going on, I knew they were covering up, and they cover up in every segment of news and event that we could possibly think of. But I don't know if you heard the story. We talked about this on air before. It's sort of fun. You know, in December 2020, Chaim Hesed is his name. He's an Israeli scientist. Basically, he won all kinds of awards, head of military intelligence, director of the Israeli space program for 30 years, former chair of the Space Committee for the National Council for Research and Development and Ministry of Science. And we can go on and on and on here. And basically, he claimed in an Israeli newspaper that the United States government has been in contact with extraterrestrial life for years and has signed a secret agreement with the Galactic Federation in order to do experiments here on Earth. Now, I've been writing about this for, you know, a couple of years, where if you look at the symbol for the U.S. the space program, the U.S. Space Force, and you compare it to the symbol that was used in Star Trek on the television series and in the movies, they're almost identical. I actually have a picture of it on my website every day. It's in the lunar section with all the other geocosmic and fun stuff, including volcanic activity and asteroids and everything else. But if you look at that, then the statement that Chaim Hesed made, it really, you know, rings home. So basically, we have a collaboration, the astronauts do. And the big story for me, we're going to jump into it here because, you know, we're talking about the highlights, you know, of the interview, is that just this past week, you know, there was a charge on the part of one of the former NASA or current NASA administrators that China is trying to take over the moon, and our military program is so far behind. I don't know if you saw this in the news, and of course China came back and said this is ridiculous, we're not about, but they're very active. I think they have a space station or something circling the moon now. They've done all kinds of really interesting stuff. So they've created a very dynamic program. Apparently they're scouting around the dark side of the moon and doing things. But, you know, I've known for years through underground sources and rumor and research that we already have a base up there. And the U.S. government's not too happy about that, that, you know, they're going to, you know, there could be military action up there at some point. So the question is, who owns the moon? Does the U.S. own the moon? Or is the planet of Earth as a universal enterprise own the moon? Is China going to claim the moon? So NASA's all excited about it, and there was a very interesting coverage. Not a lot of press on it, but there was a whole story that NASA is really upset about China getting active up there. So why are they concerned? Well, we have extraterrestrial contact already underway. We have a base up there for years that they're not telling us about. We have super science underway, which was reverse engineered is the correct term, military working on that from craft that has crashed on the planet. The most notable one was Roswell, but there's been plenty around the planet. The Soviet Union and now Russia have similar operations underway. So when you read all this stuff and you really know what's going on in the background, which I believe I do, then you wonder, does anything else make sense? You know, what else we could talk about? The Federal Reserve, we could talk about Ukraine. You know, we talk about a lot of other subjects. You know, we can talk about whether we're going into recession or not. We can talk about crop shortages, some of the attack on cows and crops like we're seeing in the Netherlands now. All this fun stuff going on, and you wonder if this is all distraction or is it part of this bigger plan that is somehow connected to the extraterrestrial connection that we have. So it's too complicated for me to come to any answer. I'm not sitting on the council there that's involved in this, that apparently is underway. And all these photographs that have been released by the Pentagon, craft that defy any known gravitational actions and all this stuff. What is this stuff? Is it our own reverse-engineered craft that we gleaned from the alien to this extraterrestrial craft? Is it actually the aliens themselves? It all comes from a miscommunication and a conspiracy of hiding information from the public for many, many years. So a lot of interesting stuff. And, you know, we try to trade the market here, made some nice money on the short side. We went long a little bit for the rally today, and we played the game because, you know, we enjoy doing this rather than sitting at a crap table in Vegas all day. This is fun, and it's intelligent trading and investing. And there is a gap in the S&P around the 4,000 level. And we're now around that 3,900 level, so I suppose they could try to rally it some more here. And if the Fed cooperates with them, their little strategy and game plan that's out there, you know, you'll get more of a rally. But I don't know. My models overall are still a bit negative. And my big concern, which I headline in my newsletter every day, is, you know, beware, you know, World War III is ahead. And I'm not just saying this to, you know, create great headlines or sound like, you know, I know something somebody else doesn't know. You got the Democrats that are running the U.S. government, sending billions of dollars to help Ukraine, which is not worth saving, by the way. It, you know, they have a nuclear plant there. They've got we've already found out they have, you know, secret labs, you know, that were creating all kinds of viruses. The Bidens have connections there. I mean, there's a lot of bad people in Ukraine. It might be worth getting rid of, you know, in a certain sense, but we're funding Ukraine. That's nothing positive. It's going to piss off, as it already has, Putin. And, he stands for, like, you know, his own country, his own freedom, his own philosophy. He doesn't want to join, Klaus Schwab and the Nazi Klaus Schwab and George Soros and others who want a one world government. So we're going to create an event here and are creating an event that could trigger a nuclear event. And, World War III type action is not an unreasonable claim on my part. And I think, you know, I don't think the stock market, even though the markets tend to like war, I don't know if they're going to like it if it blows up to that level. So I'm sort of sticking with my bigger picture view here, whether it's in 6 months or a year and a half, that, you know, the S&P could be cut in half even from current levels. So, you know, you can trade them. We'll try to trade them. Hopefully we'll all be safe. Hopefully we don't get any nuclear events here in the Western Hemisphere. But I think Putin came out with some comment. Jim, I know you're pretty good on the news frontier. You know, he made some statement in the last 24 hours or so that you know, the U.S. is going to regret its actions, and there could be, what was the expression, you know, Putin used, you know, some super sinister event could occur here in the U.S. or something to that event as a result of our actions. And, you know, he's not bullshitting. So, you know, when you're investing and trading, you got to be thinking, what do? You know, is your money safe? If something gets out of hand, should you own more gold? Should you store more food? Should you put yourself in a position that you're outside the system, so to speak? You know, you can generate your own solar power, grow your own food, do whatever you can, just in case I'm right. You know, I could be dead wrong, and I hope I'm dead wrong, but the things don't look so great. And we're not even talking about geocosmics. We're not even talking about the solar effects. There's a geomagnetic storm underway right now that's supposed to be hitting the Earth today, tomorrow. They call it a G1 class geomagnetic storm. It's now underway. I don't know if it's going to have any great impact or not, but we got the solar effects. We got volcanic activity increasing on the planet, and a lot of other interesting things unrelated to the subjects that I've already covered in this brief spiel here. So anyway, that's the overall picture. And I know you have some questions, Jim, so maybe we'll take them after the break.
We'll be back right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Is the U.S. dollar going to remain the supreme currency on the planet?
It's the last horse in the glue factory. It's probably the last dead horse, near dead horse in the glue factory, and it continues to be strong. And I think that's because the flow of capital, because of what's going on in Europe, not because of the extraterrestrials or all this other stuff, which is somehow all connected to this, and I can't pinpoint the exact connection, but it's all connected, particularly if we're getting into this feud with China over the moon, of all things. And this is serious stuff. I mean, there could be military action on the moon between the U.S. and China claiming, you know, who owns what and what, whatever. But, you know, that's not tomorrow, but it could be down the road. But the money flows are into the U.S. because, you know, the euro is worth nothing. And they're having their own sets of problems over there. And they never ever got business going again. And they mismanaged the euro. Worse than the Fed has mismanaged the U.S. side. So money tends to flow into the U.S., seen as a bastion of safety for as long as it lasts. Eventually, it's all going to probably be in control of China down in the decades ahead because they got their act together and they don't have crazy Democrats and crazy Republicans fighting each other. They got a unified vision of what the world should be, just as Putin has his vision. So they're more organized. They don't have a new president every 4 years and all this nonsense political jockeying around that we have in this country and to the lesser extent you have in Canada, but still similar. So And they're not interested in a one-world government like Klaus Schwab and Soros want. If anything, they want to take over the whole world themselves. They don't want to be part of any European Klaus Schwab or George Soros view of the world. So, you know, the bottom line is, you know, that's a big effect on, where the world is headed. But as far as your dollar question, that still seems to be in a bull market. It's very extended. Frankly, the gold bugs are very upset. Because, as you know, for a while gold was holding sideways, but that continued strength in the dollar just broke the camel's back, so to speak, and gold plummeted as the dollar, you know, continued to accelerate. So, not a good answer for the precious metals and for some commodities as long as the dollar stays strong. As you know, these commodities and gold are priced in U.S. dollars, so the dollar, unless something dramatically changes. You know, what's going to happen? They're going to suddenly have peace in Ukraine overnight. The Fed's going to decide not to raise rates. Some dramatic news suddenly hits that nobody expects. I guess that would cause the dollar to settle back down from its extended technical position. But at the moment, it seems to be the place money is flowing. And if war starts to break out in a bigger way in the next year or so in Europe, then I think the dollar would continue to be strong.
Cryptocurrencies have taken it on the chin the last few months. Are they in a position to pull out?
I love them. They're cheap. I'm not saying they can't get cheaper, but you want your place money in other places. You trust the banks. You trust what Biden and others have said, that we're going to try to digitize or control your money. They're going to try to do something to be able to track what you're doing more. They may convert the dollar or your bank accounts into digitized currency of some kind. They love to get rid of the cryptos. I'm not saying all are going to survive, but it's a bastion of, it's a statement of freedom. It's a statement of independence. And, they may try to discourage it for a while, but they'd have to shut the internet down completely. They'd have to, take some pretty extreme steps. So if you're looking for freedom, if you're looking to be able to control your money and not have it confiscated overnight, which the governments can do, they did it not too many years ago. I think it was in Greece, if I'm not mistaken, where overnight they confiscated 10% of all your money out of the bank. I think it was back in the 2006, 7, 8 area. I got to pull up that research. I mean, the government could take all your money, and they could do it. You got to put it in places to protect yourself. So, you know, gold, even though it's come down a couple $100 an ounce, you know, over 5,000 years, it's still here, where other currencies and governments have disappeared. Maybe it's not going to be worth as much in U.S. dollars as we would like, but it's still a place of safety, silver as well. Even in the Bible, they were, trading silver. So, in the Old Testament days, crypto is just another alternative, something that is out of the system. And you have to diversify. You got to have a little of the, I'm not going to recommend Bitcoin or Ethereum and say that's the answer. Something XRP is where you should be. You talk to Elon Musk. He loves Dogecoin. I call it the doggy coin, the Shiba Inu, Shiba Inu wife. There's all kinds of wild places, and you have to sort of figure out, or you get into a fund that invests in a bunch of cryptos. But I'm not of the view they're going to zero or going away, Jim. That's not my opinion. I think there's a place for them, and they're extremely volatile, and you have to know the game. But you can say the same thing about gold. You can say it goes to 5,000, back to 1,000, back to 5,000, but it's still always there, and it still has a store of value. So it's a hedge, and that's what crypto is.
Zimbabwe says it's going to start minting gold coins as a way to counter inflation. And Zimbabwe is a place, I believe, that has billion Zimbabwe dollar notes.
Right. Well, yeah. If they're going to back the currency with gold, then they're going to be in good shape. I mean, this is what Putin has done in Russia. The ruble's been strong because it's backed by gold. U.S. dollar, what's it worth? It's worth nothing. Just paper. It's not backed by anything except the computer that keeps printing out more of it. So Putin's going to come out on top. China has been accumulating gold for decades. It's like I say, thousands of years of history behind it. And if Zimbabwe wants to print currency backed by gold, it could be a solid currency.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.